Thank you to Mr. Matt for sharing that story and Mr. Matt's helpers today. It's a piece of me that says, what more is there to say? But a pastor always has more to say. And I just want to offer this brief reflection on the resurrection. Would you pray with me? Holy God, may these words, our thoughts, may they assure us of your love in Christ Jesus. Teach us, show us, empower us to be witnesses to the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if we take a glass of water and take a look at it, I think if we think through our cultural lenses today, something happens. Some of us label this glass as half full, and some of us label it as half empty. And then in our culture today, we begin to argue about who is right and apply labels to one another. We take this glass of water. Some of us are like, look at it, and we're like, it's not enough. And we think there's not going to be enough for everyone, and we need to get our share. Some of us take a look at this glass and just say, well, it's just water. What's the value in that? We focus, by our cultural lenses today, I think so often on the labels and on the container and on the scarcity and on the groups. And you see, the thing is, when we do that, we miss something really important. The miracle that is in this glass that is water, right? It's the source of life. When we get a glass from the fridge or a glass from the faucet, do you pause and think about that? Like, I'm getting a drink of the source of a source of life. We can't live without water. Nothing in creation can exist without water. The truth is that the gift in this cup that we drink from is there every day, but to experience the miracle, we have to see differently. God's love and grace didn't come to exist in Jesus. God's love and grace was already here. God filled God's creation, created humanity in the image of God. God's goodness and grace was already present before Jesus. Jesus came, God sent Jesus to show us what we couldn't see. Jesus came to show us the grace and love, the way of experiencing that grace and love that we, as humanity, we had lost sight of, we couldn't see. Jesus taught how the lenses of culture that we were using, the labels, the power, the authority, the riches, the law, showed how they were blinding us to God's love and grace, to see what God desires and what God is doing. Over and over again, Jesus taught those who followed, who desired to follow, how to see God's grace at work, how to see God. And Jesus gave them the lens, and the lens was Jesus. As we gather today, as Matt said, the whole story becomes important. Beginning in the early gospel, right? Jesus is walking with the disciples, and one of the early stories in the Gospel of John is he encounters a Samaritan woman, an outsider, at a well. And he speaks to her, which Jewish people didn't do to Samaritans, let alone men to women at a well. He speaks to her, and he tells her that the water that I have to give is water that won't run out. It is water that will cause you to never thirst. And you know what she says? She says to him, give me this water. And then the story tells us she goes and she begins to ask this question of others. She's like, could this be the Messiah? You see, she begins to see. She begins to see this way of God, this love that embraces across boundaries. She begins to claim it for herself. As Jesus continues on his way, more and more people, they begin to see. Jesus says to them, I'm the bread of life. And more people begin to see that God is the source of life, of every good and perfect gift. More people begin to see that God is the guide. They see in Jesus this way of living in that love. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And then in John's gospel, there's this remarkable story that happens before Jesus' death that we're going to pause and take just a quick look at today, because it's a foreshadow of what is to come in the resurrection that we celebrate today. This is what John's gospel says. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and Lazarus had become ill and had died, according to the account. His sisters, Mary and Martha, were there, and it says Jesus didn't come right away, but then he did come during what we would probably call a wake, the time of grieving. And we pick up the story there. It says, when Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into this world. Martha sees possibilities beyond death in her encounter with Jesus, for hope beyond the grief that she feels in that moment, for God's promise as eternal. And she says to Jesus, I believe. She's one of the few in the Bible that says these words, I believe you are the Messiah. She sees. Some of you know this story, and you know that the next thing that happens in the story is that Lazarus comes out of the grave. Jesus brings Lazarus back from the grave. But we shouldn't miss that Martha said that before Lazarus walked out of that grave. That happens before Martha's declaration. Lazarus wasn't brought to life to prove anything to Martha. Right? She believed because of her encounter with Jesus. She believed because she had spent time with Jesus, had broken bread with Jesus, had built a relationship with Jesus. She knew who Jesus was. She knew she could trust his promises. She believes in her heart because she knows that whatever happens to her brother Lazarus, this promise Jesus is making is one for life eternal. She sees the possibility of what God can do. Not as an eyewitness, but as a statement of her faith in Jesus. We come to hear this promise today at the resurrection, that Jesus' promise we can trust too, trusting in the promise of resurrection. Right? It lets us see possibilities presented in God's love and grace. The first disciples, they lived by this belief. Right? They shared it widely. They shared it generation to generation, to the point where 1 in 3 people at one point in modern history, 1 in 3 people believe in Christ as a follower and as a believer. Right? They saw it in ways they could not explain or could not imagine across centuries. The power of the Holy Spirit at work in ways opening up possibilities that otherwise couldn't be imagined. We come together this day to hear that invitation for us, to stand before the empty tomb and claim the miracle of Jesus, that God's powerful love is at work and can overcome even death. Right? And then we're invited to see the possibilities in this grace. Right, we come, some of us, with relationships that feel broken, feeling like maybe these relationships are broken beyond repair, and yet we come in the promise of the resurrection to know a grace and a love and a forgiveness of Jesus Christ that can heal every wound, that can heal any relationship. We see this possibility in the resurrection. Some of us come knowing that there are things in our past that we just can't face and we just can't share, things in our past that we think would make people not love us. And we come in the power of the resurrection to know that God's love forgives and is poured out for us again and again. We come, some of us, struggling, not sure even tomorrow where our strength is going to come from. And in the power of the resurrection, we believe in a God who is our source of strength, who will continue to show us possibilities, continue to support us through his church. We come today by the power of the resurrection with the couple who is empowered to see, even after losing a child, the worst thing most of us can imagine, that life still exists, that God is still with them, and to find in the promise of resurrection this gift that the family will again be reunited and that there is life and a way to live forward from the worst of grief. We come in the power of resurrection with those who've lost jobs and have found that they defined themselves by their work, to see in Jesus and in the power of the resurrection that our definition is by this love, by this grace, and we can continue to live by that. We come with those who fight addiction today and realize that they can't do it themselves, but they can see the possibility in God's love and grace in beating that addiction by the Spirit that is in you, in them. We come with the parent today who is wondering if they're a good enough parent. I'm sure that doesn't apply to too many of us in this room, okay, me included, right, who aren't sure we're a good enough parent. And in the power of the resurrection, we see the possibility that when we are loving our children, God is at work and present within us. We come by the power of the resurrection and see, right, that the world isn't the way it's meant to be, but we see a way of nonviolence and protest and standing up for the outcast and those who are hurting, that God's love will prevail. We come today to the empty tomb and proclaim this miracle that God's love never ends. I hope you'll hear an invitation today, right now, this moment, to believe. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus helps us to see a God we can know, a God who loves each and every one of us. I hope you hear this invitation right now today to see possibilities for you, wherever you are in your life, offered by a God who wants you to know life and know it to its fullest and to experience joy and experience it to the fullest. You don't have to have it all figured out. None of us have it all figured out. You can have questions and doubts. We all do. I have questions and doubts. But this is the gift offered today. You see, just one step in trusting in the promise of resurrection, the promise of Jesus. Right, let us see the possibilities presented in God's love and grace. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I can help you know a love that knows no boundaries. I can show you a love that can conquer everything. I know you, and you're invited to know me. For I am the God you can know.
To all who hunger, all who thirst,
all who seek, all who doubt,
all who struggle, all who hope,
all who search, all who question,
all who want to love,
all who want to be loved,
to all of us,
all of us,
Jesus says, I am.
I am.
I am the bread of life, the sustenance in your wilderness, the provision in your emptiness, the nourishment for your restlessness, feeding souls in their distress. To hunger's pangs, I bring relief, belief, an end to the grief. I'm the wholeness you seek. I am.
I am. The light of the world, piercing your darkest night, dispelling the shadows of your life, giving sight to love's might, casting your fears into the light. I am illumination, revelation, imagination, inspiration, the beacon to follow your life's destination. I am.
I am the good shepherd, vigilant and aware, guiding you with tender care. Every burden I share in your troubles, in trials, always there, always seeking, always searching, always protecting, always I am.
I am the vine, the source of the divine. You, the branches intertwined, tangled, messy, but holding on, all in God's grand design. Abide in me, your life aligned, growing, blossoming, bearing fruit in unity with purpose, grafted into the vine. I am.
I am the way, the truth, and the life, where you find refuge, find solace, find place, the path to the Father's eternal embrace. This way I've shown, this truth you've known of humility, of servanthood, of generosity, of sacrifice, of invitation, of welcome. All seeds I have shown, all things I have known. This is the way I am.
I am the resurrection and the life, the conqueror of death's grim sting, reviving, restoring, breathing into the depths of the despair. Hope I bring. I am the resurrection and the life, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In every whisper, every echo, in every heart, I eternally transcend. I am.
I am the God you can know in every time, in every space, unveiling, revealing, embodying love's redeeming, transformative, and amazing grace.